The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Page 221 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together, along with the workers in related trades, and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made of human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." Amen. In the past, people thought God definitely had visible form just as men were. A God without a form could never exist. So people made statues of gods with their idea, imagination, and wish that a god should have such appearances. That is, the origin of the status of gods in the world was hearts, minds, and hands of men. No matter how huge and great artistic value it has, it is crystal clear that the statue made by man with metals or stones cannot control life, death, fortune, and misfortune of man, which it was originated from. If the Lord our God is the only God creating the whole universe, the chosen people of Israelites should have gathered all the treasure to make and worship the largest and most beautiful statue of God in the world. However, they didn't, because God, through Moses, directed the Israelites as follows. In Exodus 20:22-23, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold.'" It was when Israelites setting up their camps in front of the mountain Sinai after escaping Egypt. God called Moses to the top of the mountain and declared the Ten Commandments. The Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 15 testifies that although there was a voice of God, no one could see the form of God. If God had a form visible to man, God would have been locked in his own form, just as the statues made by the men were. God, staying beyond time and space, has no recognizable and limited form. Infinite God exists as the Spirit. That is why God does not exist anywhere transcending time and space and stays with each of us all the time. Thus, God directed Israelites not to make any gods of gold or silver. If you make a shrine of God invisible to man, you stupidly confine infinite God to a statue which is nothing but finite. If the God can be confined in a statue, there cannot be God, our Lord, who revealed you through the Bible. For those who believed that God had a form like man, it was unimaginable to think that God has no form. That is to say, the origin of God, who transcends time and space, cannot be man, who were created by God and under the control of God in time and space. So when asked by Moses who he was, God told in Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am." God, who is unimaginable with hearts and minds of man, who was the Spirit transcending time and space, was who he was from the beginning. God himself was the origin. Therefore, God, our Lord, transcending time and space as the Spirit, is the only God, the true God. Paul was a Christian believing in such God. From his point of view, it doesn't matter that the statue of the goddess Artemis in the temple of Artemis, called the mystery of the ancient times, was huge and with her 24 breasts. It was nothing more than a simple lump of metal or rock. Paul publicly proclaimed to the people in Ephesus that man-made gods are no gods at all. Although it was Ephesus where the temple of Artemis has an absolute impact, Paul's proclamation moved many of the people. Even the magicians who had practiced sorcery brought their 50,000 drachmas worthy scrolls together, burned them publicly, and turned toward the Lord through Paul. That could never be acceptable to those who made their living with the temple of Artemis. From verse 24 and 25, a silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. He called them together along with the workmen in related trades and said, "Friends, you know we receive a good income from this business." A silversmith named Demetrius called his colleagues. Like I said last time, silversmiths in Ephesus at the time received a good income, meaning they were well off by making the silver shrines of Artemis. Demetrius urged them as follows in verse 26 and 27. "And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." On the surface, it seems that Demetrius spoke for the name and majesty of the goddess Artemis. His true intent was to worry about the danger by which their trade would lose their good name. In terms of the virtue of God, making a statue was a sin before God. Based on Paul's claim, by making and selling the shrine of Artemis, there were sinners in front of God, and consequently, their job had to lose their good name. However, the real intent of Demetrius wasn't that spiritual. It was something else. As mentioned last time, it was to point out that their wealth and prosperity coming from the statue selling business could be jeopardized if letting people in Ephesus and Asia turn their back against the temple of Artemis, following Paul's preaching that man-made gods are no gods at all. Even if Demetrius earned his living making and selling the shrine of Artemis and the temple, he didn't prioritize the goddess Artemis. He was no better than those who praise idols of good income, wealth, and prosperity, taking advantage of the goddess Artemis. In verse 28, when they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Swayed by the incitement of Demetrius, the colleagues became furious and shouted Artemis. The reason that they were mad about Paul and shouted Artemis wasn't different. Being incited by Demetrius, good income, wealth, and prosperity, which they had enjoyed, could be in danger. Their ardent shouting for Artemis was their determination to maintain their wealth and prosperity. They worshipped Artemis to keep their wealth and prosperity, rather than for the goddess herself. They did that only to maintain their wealth and prosperity. They stupidly turned away God of eternal life and salvation. But they were not alone. God is invisible spirit, without a form, transcending time and space. If those who believe in God pursue good income, wealth, and prosperity as their purpose of life, they were no better than the foolish idol worshippers, just like Demetrius and his colleagues, as we looked at last time deeply. Then there comes very important question arising. Is it not right for a Christian trying to grow his pie? If he's a Christian in name only, making the well of life as his goal of life. As his pie gets bigger and bigger, it will become more harm and damage as a result, pulling the time of self-destruction forwards. On the contrary, if someone makes the invisible Trinity God as his purpose of life, it would be rather pleasant to see his pie grows. The bigger the pie becomes, the more people would be benefited from it. Looking at Acts chapter 15, verse from 36 through 41, we have thought about the kingdom of God, which Jesus let us realize through the Matthew chapter 20. By Christians pursuing the Trinity God throughout their lives, it doesn't mean that the capitalist emphasizing the incentives from their power, privilege, or effort. Could it be even possible to make this world the kingdom of God based on the capitalist logic? As the whole world is in pain under the neoliberalism economy, the logic of capitalism only aggravates the polarization. The rich get richer. But Christians are not communists either, where people want to work and possess evenly together. As evidenced in history, by destroying diligence and faithfulness, communism consequently entails the collapse of the society. Christians work hard and willingly give up the right, privilege, and share that they deserve for someone else. Through those people, the love of God bears fruit. Justice takes root in the society, and the fairness and public interest can be guaranteed. Although there are so many churches and Christians in this world today, the kingdom of God is hardly established or extended where the love of God and righteousness meets together. Most of the Christians look like they prioritize God, but in practice, they pursue good income, wealth, and prosperity throughout their lives. But let's think about it hard. No matter how many Christians are there making good income, wealth, and prosperity their purpose of life, can they protect the social justice, fairness, and public interest? Such Christians would try every possible way to extend their wealthy and prosperous life, no matter what. Not even different from those in the world. As their pie gets bigger and bigger, their tyranny will become worse to maximize their own income, wealth, and prosperity. To those with contentment, self-sufficiency, gratefulness, and true happiness be available. After all, the more income, wealth, and prosperity they enjoy, the farther they become with invisible God, and rather become an obstacle to the kingdom of God, wouldn't they? In old times, people said that if a member of family made a town hall officer, his or her family would prosper, including even distant relatives. Unlike these days, the salary of public officers was very small. For an officer at a town hall, that goes without saying. If the officer make a great income, so his distant relatives could get benefited, he surely is corrupt, which needs to be fought against. However, there is one lesson for us to be learned. In the past, even the corrupt public officer cared about their relatives as a member of us. Today, however, where a good income, wealth, and prosperity became the purpose of life, there are only me and my children. And the children as well invest everything for the sake of their own wealth and prosperity, or of their children. That way, letting alone distant relatives, the relationship with their direct siblings is severed. In a society where such people gather together, can the love, justice, public interest, and fairness take roots? Recently, I met a businessman, and he sighed for the reality that 100,000 college graduates apply for Samsung. It is unprecedented in the world. Based on the government statistics, the number of Korean college graduates was 484,968 last year, including community, national, private, and public colleges. And from the media, the number of Samsung applicants graduating from college reached 100,000 in the latter half of 2013 for the first time. In 2014 as a whole, it was 200,000. This year, in the first half as well, the regular recruitment had almost 100,000 applicants. Compared with the 10,000 who applied for Hyundai Motors on the same day, it is quite noticeable how great number of people apply for Samsung in the first half of the year. From the data trend in the first and latter half of this year, Samsung is forecasted to see almost 200,000 applicants. based on the number, 1 out of 2.4 college graduates apply for Samsung every year. It is very unusual in the world. There are no two identical persons. Even twins have things uncommon. Appearances, thoughts, decisions, tastes, interests, abilities are not the same. And it would be a rare case if they all want the same thing to do. Although it is not easy to be hired, including small and medium-sized companies, quite many companies newly hire their staff. Then why one of 2.4 college graduates want to get hired by Samsung? Of course, I don't believe the same goes to all, but if this is a representation of the current trend, where people pursue a good income, wealth, and prosperity by getting hired by Samsung, the top local company, it is very concerning. Why are the youth be called young people? In their youth, people are most fresh in their body, heart, and mind. Contribution of love, service, justice, fighting against injustice, fairness, establishing the public good, the challenge, innovating the world. All these are most active in such period of life. Nevertheless, if the elites of our society only pursue safe and easy target of good income, wealth, and prosperity, then can the future of our society be renewed? Even if those young people are Christians, can they become the farmers of the kingdom of the Lord, working harder than anybody and willingly giving up their due authority, prestige, and share for someone else? Can they willingly sacrifice themselves when the country was put in danger? On April 13, 1592, the 25th year under the reign of Sunjo, Japan invaded Korea, taking Busan and Dongle. The Japanese army went north with crushing force, and Sunjo escaped to Gaesong, giving up Hanyang, the capital city of the time, on April 30th, the 17th day of Japanese invasion of Korea. For days later, in the lead-up to another evacuation to Pyongyang, Sunjo asked the Navy General Yun Du-su, "How many enemy soldiers are there? Is it true that half of them are from Korea?" Based on the Sunjo Chronicles, based on the record, Mr. Lee Teok-il head of Hungarian History and Culture Institute, said in a column titled History on the Blade that the reason that such many Korean citizens participated in the war was Japanese soldiers was because of the one-sided taxation of military service. Poor citizens had to pay hemp or muslin fabric every year, which was a great burden. Although the well-to-do definitely should pay more military tax, the noble class were completely exempted from the military service tax. This shows while pursuing the wealth and prosperity of their own, those young elites and noble class people didn't care at all about the pain of poor people. Against this backdrop, many of desperate people participated in the Japanese army, thinking their life could get easier when the world changed. The government and noble class people brought themselves this misfortune, seeking the wealth and prosperity of their own. Four days later on, June 25th, it'll be 65th anniversary commemorating the outbreak of the tragedy of Korean War. During the 3 years of war, the whole country was ruined, while the casualty reached 4.5 million, including civilians. At the time, the population of the South and North together was 30 million, and most of the people were big. Most of the families were big. If the number of a household was 6 on average. The casualty of 4.5 million means that one from each family died or was injured. The war stopped in 3 years. But due to the demarcation line dividing the country south and north, almost 10 million families were separated. It was the most tragic war between the same people in world's history of war. This tragedy cannot and should not happen again. However, if those in the leadership, government, young elites graduating from the top college, and Christians believing in God seek their own wealth and prosperity as the purpose of life, who could guarantee that the Japanese invasion 423 years ago and the Korean War 65 years ago would never take place again? Christians are not the conservative, keeping and extending their own good income, wealth, and prosperity. Christians are not the progressive either, who want to share with others, not theirs. Like Paul in today's scripture, Christians are those working hard and willingly giving up their share, and right that they deserve for someone else, not themselves. This is because Christians are those who serve God as the Lord, who share the eternal life with the blood of the cross, willingly giving up the right of God in order to save them and follow the way of Him. If the Trinity God is visible with a form, He would stay with only one certain person in a certain place every day. As God, however, transcends time and space and is who He is, He's in our hearts. He's in the heart of each and every of us and holds us with His words. If depending on such God, working harder than any others, and willingly give up our own right and share for someone else as true Christians, how come can this world not become the visible fruit of love through us as the kingdom of invisible God? How come can the justice, fairness, and public good not be established through us on this land? Therefore, there is no clearer shortcut of security and unification for us as Christians than living as visible hands and feet of invisible God. Let us pray. Christians are not conservatives, only protecting and extending their good income, wealth, and prosperity, nor the progressive, trying to share with neighbors, but with others' wealth and prosperity. We thank You for allowing us to realize that again. The Lord gave us the right of God to save us and gave us the eternal life with the blood of the cross. You stay in each of us as the Spirit and holds us with Your words. Help us not forget that. Help us live as disciples of God, working harder than anyone else, but willingly giving up the right, the privilege, and share for someone else. If we are to grow our pie, let it not be for our own wealth and prosperity, but for more people having sense of the kingdom of God, so that the love of God bears visible fruit of invisible love of God through such life. May the justice, fairness, and public good take roots on this land. May our life as hands and feet of the Lord be the strongest security protecting divided country and the shortcut for unification for us as Christians than living as visible hands and feet of invisible God. Help those who are working hard day and night to fight MERS without the power of God. Give mercy on all the medical staff in the country so that they could maintain necessary attention to our conditions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.